excited to get into the Word tonight. We are still in our preaching series of the Gospel Reach the World, which is awesome because we're just coming out of Easter last weekend, which I have seen from other people's eyes that it was a powerful, powerful weekend. I watched the Instagram recap and saw a bunch of photos of people getting baptized, which is just incredible. So I'm excited that we're going to keep that series going and preach the Gospel. The reason that me and Marlene didn't get to see it in person, we were actually on a cruise, which was awesome. This is not a sponsored segment, but if you want to use promo code Ash at checkout to save, but it was an incredible time. Can you give me a wave if you've been on a cruise before? It's awesome. If you see me like swaying tonight, that's what that is. If I get cranky towards the end of the message, it's because after 7 days, I became a child. Honestly, I needed to nap every 3 hours. I needed to eat every 3 hours or I get grumpy. So if that's by the end of the message, I'm yelling at you. I don't hate you. I just need a nap and a feed and I'll be happy. But it was a great, great time. It was my first time being out of Australia, which is wild. Did you guys know there's other countries? I did not. I'd heard rumors about Tasmania, but it was my first time actually leaving the mainland, which was amazing. And I had no idea what I was doing. I felt super out of my depth. It was the first time being out of Australia and the first time being on a cruise. So I absolutely had no idea what I was doing. We got onto the cruise at like 12 o'clock midday last Saturday, and we unpacked our gear as if it was a hotel, checking out all the fixtures and stuff. There was like this weird lever on the back of the tap. I don't know if cruise people get this, if this is like a standard thing. I have no idea. But I was just flicking around with it. I was like, what does this thing do? I had no idea, right? And we just unpacked all of our stuff, and then later that night, brushed our teeth and found out that the sink would just like fill almost all the way up before going back down. And I'm like, man, I've never left Australia. Never been on a boat. I don't know if this is normal, right? So we also went with Adam and Amy on one of our many buffet dinners. I was just like, hey dude, does your sink like fill all the way up before it drains down? He's like, oh, nah, not really. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Had a bit of a fiddle around with the plug. I was like, surely I can just do a man thing and fix it. I couldn't. So like 3 days later, we're going on and it's starting to get real frustrating. We're just like trying to wash our face and it's like a full face bath. And we're like trying to brush our teeth, but we're like concerned that it may flood over and our room is going to be filled with like toothpaste mouth stuff. Gross, right? And then like 3 or 4 days in, I'm crazy frustrated. I'm like, how does this thing work? Like, what is going on? And then I figured out that the little hinge thing on the back actually lifts up the plug. It was wild. It blew my mind. I was like, I had no idea how this thing worked. I felt like the biggest idiot. I was like, man, I am just so silly. And I think the same is true of so many things, right? That if we don't know how something works, it can be really frustrating. You guys with me? If we don't know how something works, it can be really frustrating. And I think the same thing is true of the gospel. So the title of the message tonight is What Does the Gospel Do? Before we get too far ahead, I've got to share with you guys a prophetic image God gave me through the week. I didn't really know what it meant, but it's raining outside, so it's all tying in. It's a great time. But it gave me a picture of, have you guys ever seen a gazebo when it just like starts filling up with water on the sides and it just gets real full and it's just like starts to sink and then all of a sudden it just like rips and there's water pouring out everywhere. God gave me this image a while ago, and just before he was telling me what it means, that throughout this message, it's a bit of a shorter message because we're leading towards an altar moment at the end of service. If you haven't been part of one of those before, I encourage you, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But he was saying that as we go out throughout this message and as we look at scripture, he's inviting you to let the Spirit of God just weigh down on your heart. And then as you come down the front through the altar, that's going to tear open and God's love and his grace and his mercy is going to wash over you. So prepare your heart for that. It's going to be powerful. Title of the message tonight is What Does the Gospel Do? Because if you don't know what something does, it can be frustrating, right? So I think everybody in this room is falling into one or two camps when it comes to this question. We've all asked it, what does the gospel do? If you're in this room and you are not a Christian, I want to start off by saying welcome. It's awesome to have you here. I'm excited, God's excited, we're all excited. And I understand it can be super intimidating coming into a place where people don't believe the same things as you, but super grateful that you're here. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I guarantee you, you've met a Christian. Right? Unless you like were super quick to get in through the foyer there and found yourself here. I guarantee you've met a Christian at some point. And if you've met a Christian, you've probably met a Christian who's not very Christian, right? We've all seen those guys. Maybe they call themselves Christian by name, but through the week, they look nothing like Jesus, right? Or maybe you've met a Christian and you've got around them a little bit and there's just like that one thing that's sticking out that you're just like, what? I didn't think that Christians were allowed to do that, whether it's swearing, whether it's drinking, whatever that looks like. We've all met Christians who don't act very Christian and it leaves you asking the question of what does the gospel do? right? And it can be really frustrating because outwardly, they look nothing like a Christian, right? Well, the second group of people, if you're in here and you are a Christian, I guarantee you, since the point that you've been saved, at some point you've sinned. Can we agree on that one? Yeah? At some point you've sinned. Maybe it was a once-off, or maybe it was like something that you've caught yourself in. It's a habitual sin and you just are struggling to get out of it. And it's really frustrating because you're like, I thought I was saved from my sin. What is going on? Like, what does the gospel actually do? And I think if you're in either one of those camps here tonight, you fall into the same trick that I was with that little sink hinge thingy, right? Where the gospel is beautiful and the gospel works and it's incredible, but you need to understand, what does it do, right? So tonight we're going to be answering that question, what does the gospel do? Going to be looking at first scripture for tonight, which is coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Oh, awesome. It still fits in this little bar thing. How good. So 2 Corinthians, it is the second letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. And under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he said this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Paul is writing to a bunch of Christians and is telling them what the gospel does. To be in Christ means that you are somebody who has believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe that Jesus died for your sin, that he paid the price that you couldn't pay. You believe that he was resurrected on the third day and that in that resurrection you have new life. You identify yourself as a disciple of Jesus and you're probably also being discipled by somebody else. That's what it means to be in Christ. And from the moment that you are in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. It's not a long dragged out process that God is dragging you through, like painfully kicking and screaming. It is from the point of salvation. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Your old way of thinking, your old way of living, that sin, that condemnation that followed you around has actually been gone. And the new has come. You have been made a new creation. From the moment of salvation, you have gone from being in exile to being in Eden. You have gone from being a sinner to being a saint. Those who are in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. The second scripture that we are looking at tonight is coming out of the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 18. Yeah, so good. So this is the Apostle Paul again, writing to a different church, but same message. He says, you have been set free from sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. Have a go at it. Flesh is loving it, dude. You have been slaves to righteousness. There was a way of living before. We lived under a master of sin. How whether you wanted to or not, you would just commit sin. And it was just what you did. It was your way of life. You were in bondage to sin. But because of Jesus, you have been set free from your sin. And now you are a slave to righteousness. You used to be under a covenant of law, of sin and death. But now you have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus. And you are in the covenant of grace and life. You have been set free from your sin and you are now a slave to righteousness. For all those who are in Christ, you are a new creation. Next scripture we're looking at is coming out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul again writing and he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. Paul here, he's using the term Gentiles to refer to anybody who's not in Christ. He's saying that there is a way that us who live in Christ live that is different from when we weren't in Christ, right? We don't have a ton of time, so I read through a bunch of scriptures and made us a cute little table, which we all love to see. If we could get that one up on there, that would be sick. If not, we'll wing it. Oh, yeah, good. Give it up for the media team. You guys are legends. We didn't have any reception until Saturday when we landed back. So they definitely did this last minute today and you guys are champions. So what we're going to do, this is just a bit of a helpful way of picturing what it looks like to be a new creation versus what you were before the gospel so that we can get a bit of a better picture of what the gospel actually does in our lives and in our hearts. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to say the old self and then we're going to switch over to the new self and we're all going to say, I am, insert the thing. Okay, ready? So, under the old self, we were sinful. Under the new self, I am righteous. Yeah? Amazing. Under the old self, I was selfish. Under the new self, I am loving and generous. I used to be obsessed about the things of myself. I used to put my needs above others. The things that I want are more important than what they want. But as a Christian, I am living as a self, I put myself last in the way that I'm giving so that somebody else could prosper and I could be less, right? We are loving and generous. In the old self, I was lustful. In the new self, amazing. Under the old self, you were condemned. Under the new self, I am free. Imagine being set free from slavery, being set free from prison. That is the position that we are in as Christ followers. I used to be indifferent, but now I am zealous. We are excited. I don't know about you guys. Before I was a Christian, sometimes I would just like let stuff happen. But now I'm excited to see God move in situations, right? God has given me a zeal in my heart. Before I used to be pessimistic, but under the new self, I am hopeful. Amazing. You guys are legends. As Christians, we have hope. And that's more than just like I really hope that you're doing okay. But hope is like a hope of future glory. That means that whatever could happen to us in this life, we can look forward to heaven and know that Jesus is coming back and that he's going to redeem all of creation and things are going to be okay and we're going to be in his presence for all eternity. But more than that, what it means to live as a new creation, as somebody with hope, is that whatever situation, whatever circumstance the world throws at you, you can believe that God is going to move in that situation. Whatever your financial situation looks in, you can have hope knowing that God can provide for you. Amen. Previously, you used to be apathetic. So maybe you just didn't really care what was happening. You just let it happen. But as a new creation, you are empathetic. The Bible says that we should weep with those who weep. We should cry with those. Oh, that's the same thing. We should celebrate with those who are celebrating. We should be a people who are empathetic, that we deeply feel what other people feel and we join with them and we encourage them and we pray with them. Under the old self, maybe you used to gossip, so you would use other people's shortfalls as a way of lifting yourself up. But under the new creation, you are a peacemaker. You use whatever power and authority that you have in any situation to bring peace rather than chaos. Under the old self, you are lazy, but under the new self, I am not lacking in good works. You are excited to get about the Father's business because you are a new creation. Amen. Hopefully that encourages you guys. But at the start of the message, I mentioned two main camps, right? So the first one was you are a non-Christian and you've encountered some people that maybe you could describe them with some of those things in all of the first column, or maybe it was every single one of those things. You're like, are you a Christian? But you're pretty sinful and selfish and lustful, right? If you're in that camp, that's okay. We're going to get there. And if you're in the second camp and you're a Christian and maybe you were reading through some of those first things and I said you used to, and you're like, oh, but I kind of still am, right? We feel that tension where sometimes we could describe ourselves more with the first column than the second column, right? So then we're still at square one where we're asking ourselves, what does the gospel do, right? Going to look at our next scripture coming out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. Awesome. Through to 27. So this is the book of Ezekiel. We're now going out of the New Testament back into the Old Testament. This book was written hundreds of years before. It was a prophet of God talking about something that God is going to do in the future. And this has now been fulfilled in the new covenant that we walk in. So God says this, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put in you, and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws. Now, something that's important to understanding this scripture is that for the Hebrew people, the heart was more than just an organ that pumped blood around the body, like we've all done anatomy and stuff in high school, right? But and we understand that decisions are made in the mind or whatever. But for the Hebrew people, the heart was the center of decision-making. So when God is saying that you have a heart of stone, what he's saying is that your decision-making is flawed. You are making decisions, your desires, your emotions are offbeat and it's leading you to death because a heart of stone can't pump blood, right? So the body will die. So what God is saying is that you have a heart of stone, your decision-making, your emotions are flawed, but I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you desires, I'm going to give you emotions, I'm going to give you thoughts that lead to life. So this is what the gospel does. is that God replaces your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And not just that, but he gives you the Holy Spirit, which is going to lead you in the right paths for his name's sake. This is what the gospel does. Is it gives us new desires, it gives us a new heart, it gives us a new way of thinking, a new way of living. And I remember when I first became a Christian, this is going back like 48, you know, it was about 5 years ago. I became a Christian and a couple of things were like substantially changed in my life. I really tangibly felt that I had become a new creation. And the first one was I found myself serving. Before I was a Christian, I would only use my time to benefit myself because I only had so much of it, right? But then I became a Christian, I got given a new heart, and I found myself at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday in kids' church. That was one of my first serving opportunities, was going downstairs. And can I tell you, it is such a blessing to serve in kids' ministry. We mentioned it earlier, but I'm going on a tangent again. Like I cannot tell you what a blessing it is to sit across from young people as they are figuring out their faith, as they're asking you, they're engaging with the Word of God. And it's absolutely not just like a babysitting service. I remember there was times where I was proper intimidated to preach the Word of God because I'm like, these kids know more about the Scriptures than I do. And that is straight up a testament to how great the kids leaders are here at City Point Redcliffe. So if you want to serve in the kids ministry, I cannot encourage you enough. Do it. It's incredible. And now as youth pastors, we see so many teenagers who have come all the way from youth ministry, from Lucas's age through till, you know, now they're sort of seniors in high school and they've just been so blessed by the kids ministry. So it is powerful and effective. And if you want to get involved, go talk to Lydia. It's incredible. But I found myself, there was like desires in my heart that were changing. I wanted to give myself over to other people for their benefit, right? I had been given new desires that were external to myself. Something else that I found shifting was generosity. If you ask anybody that knew me growing up, I was so stingy. Like I would have shaved my eyebrow off for $2. Like I was all about that money and it was mine to keep. Like you are not getting any of my money. I remember 4 weeks ago when I lent you $5 and now it's $20 kind of thing. Like that was just what it was. That was my attitude towards money. And then I became a Christian. And I was in a place of like pretty hectic financial strain. I just moved out of home and I found myself tithing and I found myself being generous to people at work. And this is not to flex or to say that I'm some awesome Christian, but this is just like giving my testimony that God actually did something substantial in my heart. And I don't think that we should shy away from that out of some false sense of humility of just like, oh no, I'm just like the rest of you guys. No, we should be proud. We should stand firm on the fact that God has given me a new heart and a new desire. And that's such an incredible miracle that we should be sharing with the people around us, right? That God has given me a new heart and new desires. And I love things that I didn't love before. But here's the catch. God gives us a new heart, but he doesn't make us robots, right? God gives us a new heart, but he doesn't take away our free will. He gives us a new heart and a new nature, but it is possible to work against your nature. Got a couple of examples here. I think Pastor Cam just ran out, which is lucky because he's the first one. Pastor Cam and Amanda, both of you guys are crazy. No, not really. But they jumped out of an aeroplane a while ago and it was so loose. Like God has built me with legs, not wings, right? It is in my nature to be on solid ground, not flying out of an aeroplane. That is against your nature and that is crazy. People jump out of aeroplanes, people. That is not human nature. It is possible to act against your nature. Something else, my father-in-law, Marlene's dad, his name is Tinnis. And if you follow anybody on Strava, you see this man, he is a beast. It is ridiculous. He is very against human nature. There was one weekend, he ran a half marathon on Saturday, 21 kilometers, and then a full marathon on Sunday, 42 kilometers. The man ran over 73 kilometers in 2 days. That is against human nature, right? There would have been so many times where he's early on starting to do it and he's waking up in the morning and he doesn't feel like it, but he just does it and he does it and he does it and he does it. And now it's part of his nature. Me and Marlene went through his Strava the other week and there was like one day that he missed out of a whole month of exercise. Dude, I need at least 3 to 5 days rest in between runs. Like it is against human nature what he is doing, but it's possible. It's possible to act against your nature. The last one is out of scripture because we like that. Adam and Eve, right? Can I ask you a question? You've got 2 seconds to answer it. Did Adam have a sinful nature? That's a tricky question. No, he didn't, right? God created him with a pure heart, placed him straight into Eden. Sin did not exist, but Adam still had the capacity to sin, right? So God gives us a new heart and a new nature, but it is possible for us to work against our nature. We're going to look at another scripture coming out of the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 16. Awesome. And the Apostle Paul again says, "Do you not know that when you offer yourself over to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness?" See, every single one of those examples that I used before, the first time that they acted against their nature, it would have felt pretty unnatural, right? I'm sure it didn't feel natural jumping out of an airplane, right? But people do that. And they repeat it, and they repeat it, and they repeat it. And then all of a sudden, they're just jumping out of an aeroplane like it's part of their nature. Tinnis runs every single day like it's part of his nature. And the truth is that the thing that we subject ourselves to starts to feel natural, right? At first, it's a bit of a stretch, but then you keep doing that sin, and you keep doing that sin, and you keep doing that sin, and you keep doing that sin. And then all of a sudden, that new desire that God gave you in your heart has been corrupted, and now you desire sin again, right? We've all been there. And then maybe you start identifying yourself with it. They're just, "Oh yeah, I'm just a lustful person. It's just like my parents were like that. I drink because I'm Australian," right? And then you start building an identity around yourself as somebody who is sinful when God has made you holy. You can act against your nature, and the more you do it, the more natural it'll feel. And then all of a sudden you find this heart of flesh with calluses all over it. And your desires are all out of whack. And if that's you here in this room tonight, we're going to have an altar call in just a moment. And if you haven't been a part of an altar call before, it's not about the people around you. It's just about you and God having a moment where you just lay yourself down and you repent completely before God. And you say, "God, have your way in me." The Old Testament describes the altar that they would sacrifice animals on, and it would be burnt up, and God would take away all the impurity. And that's what we believe happens on the altar. When you lay yourself down, Paul says, as a living sacrifice. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to encounter you powerfully tonight. What does the gospel do? Well, it starts a work in us that will only be complete in heaven. It starts a work in us that testifies to the people around us of the goodness and the grace and the holiness of God. But it is our responsibility as Christians to flee from sin. It is our responsibility as Christians to act in accordance with the desires that God has given us. When he asks you to share your faith, it is on us to share our faith. When he asks you to be generous, it is on us to be generous. God will always give you the power and the strength to overcome the temptation of the enemy, but it's our choice. Last scripture for tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Oy. The Apostle Paul says this, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. Hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." I don't know about you guys, but I read that scripture and it says, "to which you have received and to now you have taken your stand." It's an active thing that Paul is inviting us to, and he's giving us a framework. I've got two steps. So we first receive and then we stand. So we need to first receive the gospel, and then we need to stand in our position as sons and daughters. We need to first receive a new heart, and then we need to stand in our position as righteous sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We need to receive God's grace, and then we need to stand on it. We need to receive revelation of our righteousness from God, and then we need to stand on his word. As we welcome out the worship team, I'd love to invite you all to stand to your feet. And the last little receive and stand moment that we're going to have is at the altar, where we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to impart something in our hearts. Like I mentioned before, that prophetic image of the Holy Spirit just weighing down on our heart and then just allowing him to just rip it open and just experience that love and grace to wash over us. So we're going to have an altar moment where you can receive that from God. You can receive that encounter. And then it's on us as Christians to stand on that out in the world. So if we could all bow our heads and close our eyes, I'm going to pray, and then the worship team are going to lead us in this moment. And then just whenever you feel called to, would you come down the front? Don't worry about what other people are looking at. Don't worry about what they might think of you. No one cares. This is a moment between you and God. If you want your heart to be made anew tonight, would you come down the front? So Father, I thank you so much for every single person in this room. God, I pray for those that are going to respond to this altar call. God, that you would just give them, you would replace a heart of stone with a heart of flesh. God, where there's been calluses, where there's been things that we've pulled away from you, God, would you make those new? Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, King of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for revealing something afresh to us tonight, Lord. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to evaluate the way we're living our life. Thank you for reaching every single one of us, no matter what stage of our salvation we're in, Lord. Thank you for seeing me and creating a space tonight where I could evaluate how I'm living my life, what identity I'm living in. God, I thank you that you've created a space tonight where we can identify ourselves in you again. Thank you, Lord. You're so kind. As our eyes are closed tonight, I want to offer people in the room an opportunity to meet this kind and gracious and loving God. Ash has spoken a lot of scripture. He's spoken a lot about what's available to you in Christ. And all it takes is actually realizing and believing and confessing that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the King of glory, that he did come, he did die on a cross, and what he did on the cross was save every single one of us from the penalty of sin. And when he was resurrected, that makes our faith bigger than any other religion, any other, because he conquered death. And we can now come into an eternity with our Father, the one who created us. That's all it takes. All it takes to be in relationship with him is to believe that and confess that. And then an invitation, as Ash was talking about tonight, is to live that way. Live in him. Reevaluate the way we make choices and live according to his truth every single day. So as our eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never met him, if you've never met the King of glory, or maybe you have and life swept you away and you're having this thing in your heart, there's something going on where you're like, nah, I know he's real. I know I've lived away from him. I know he's calling my name. I know I need to come back to him. Two opportunities. Either brand new Christian, you're like, yes, I'm in. Or you need to come home. You need to come back. As our eyes are closed, I'm going to look around and maybe a team member who wants to walk with you after this is going to look. And we're going to pray together and then walk this journey together. So on the count of three, would you lift your hand just so I know who I'm praying with? That's you, that you want to give your life to God either for the first time or again. For the rest of your life, that this is a decision that is going to change your future. On the count of three, one, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I see that hand. An amazing decision. As I look across, is there anyone else who wants to join the family of heaven? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we honor you tonight. We thank you so much for sending your son. And as this life reaches out to you, as this heart turns towards you, and maybe there's others, as we reach towards you, as we pursue you tonight, would you reveal yourself again to us? Would you remind us of our identity in you, Lord? Father, we thank you that you sent your son. We thank you, Jesus, for doing it, for the joy set before you. You went on the cross. We celebrate with all of heaven that a life has come home to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, we celebrate with heaven tonight. Someone in the room just made a decision to follow Jesus. So good.
Thanks for joining us online. We pray you are blessed by today's message. If you want prayer for anything, you want to connect with us, or you made a commitment to Jesus today, we'd love to take this from a digital to a personal relationship. So reach out via the link in the description below. Be blessed. We'll see you soon.